Take your Bible this morning and turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 14. Now, we've been studying the book of Acts for some time, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we're now in Acts chapter 14, looking at the end of the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. Now, in a moment, I'm going to read beginning in verse 19, and I'll read all the way through verse 28. But as we begin this message, I want you to know the message is entitled Spiritual Grit. Not quite 2 weeks ago, I was standing in Pompeii. And one of the things that we did on our trip was along the way, we would stop and I would do some teaching and try to inspire and encourage our group of 90 people and help them understand the journeys of Paul, but also to make spiritual application in our lives. And so while Pompeii was not a Pauline site, we visited that when we had come to port in Naples, Italy there. And one of the things that we did was we wanted to look at the ruins. Now, in Pompeii, there's sections of Pompeii that have frescoes that are just absolutely pornographic. And so we didn't go to those areas. Amen? That's the right thing to do. But anyway, when we finished and we were standing in a certain section and we found a shaded spot to stand with our group, I was going to share with our group five characteristics of the Roman world that I think are also characteristic of our world. And so while I was standing there and our group was in front of me, there was a gentleman that I found out later, Philip had told me, came up and stood right behind me. He was not with our group. And he was listening. I think he thought I was a guide. And so he was interested in what the guide was saying about the history of Pompeii or that location that we were standing in. And I was beginning to describe the Roman world and the characteristics of the Roman world and how I think they connect with the world that we live in today. And then I made this statement. I said, but let's look at what the Word of God says. And I opened the Bible. And at that moment, the man did this. He just threw up his hands and turned around and walked away. The fact is that it's not recent. It's always been the reality that people don't want to hear what God has to say. When Paul began his missionary journeys, Paul faced a great deal of not only persecution, but challenges. If you look in your Bible in Acts chapter 14, beginning in verse 19, Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Now, Paul had traveled into this region, and the Bible tells us that he had preached the gospel. God used him powerfully to heal a man that had been born lame. And at that moment, people wanted to give offerings and praise Paul and Barnabas, and they refused that. They resisted that, only to point people to Christ. Now, at this moment, Paul had been in this area, and it says that Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, which means that they traveled some distance specifically for the purpose of opposing the Apostle Paul and the message that he preached. Now let's continue at what the Word of God says. Verse 20. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city, and the next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. And after they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, which this was Antioch of Pisidia, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. When they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. They passed through Pisidia and came into Pamphylia, and when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch of Syria, from which they had been commanded to the grace of God for the work that they had accomplished. And when they had arrived, they gathered the church together and they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they spent a long time with the disciples. So the Bible tells us that when Paul had been rejected and ridiculed and stoned for preaching the gospel, that he went to a place about 18 miles away to a city called Derbe. And then he went back to the very cities that had rejected him and ridiculed him and stoned him. And he went back for the purpose of building up, strengthening, encouraging, and helping those Christians that they may persevere in their faith. You might find it interesting, in Acts chapter 16, we learn that Timothy was from Lystra. But if you turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3, when Paul writes this final letter before his death to young Timothy, notice what he says in chapter 3, verse 10. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, the Christian life is not always an easy life. If you'll look back in Acts chapter 14 and in verse 22, it's a critical verse because I want you to see what Paul said. He said in the last clause of that 22nd verse, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Now, Paul wasn't saying that in order to get to heaven and be forgiven of your sin, you have to suffer in many ways so that you can achieve or earn eternal life. No, what the Apostle Paul was saying is this, that those who repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have been born again by grace through faith in him alone, you can anticipate and you can expect that the Christian life, all of your life, that there are going to be various seasons that you are going to face suffering, trials, and tribulation. There's a very popular theology in American culture that somehow gets the idea that as a believer in Jesus, God wants you to never suffer. God never wants anything bad to happen in your life, and you should never be sick. And you should never, ever go through hard times. The problem with that is it may sound good to the soul of the flesh of man, but it is not biblically accurate to the reality of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you are going to endure many things. And the question is, are those things going to build you up in your faith? Or are they going to tear you down and cause you to drift away from the very things that you believe? In the last 15 to 20 years, there have been 30 million people that have walked away from the church in America. Maybe the question is why? Paul himself had been imprisoned repeatedly, flogged, exposed to death again and again, received 39 lashes 5 times. He was beaten with rods 3 times. He was pelted with stones. He was shipwrecked 3 times. And yet the Apostle Paul wanted to do everything he could to encourage these believers because he knew what they were going to face. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." He wrote to the Galatians, "Do not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." Somebody once said that the biblical definition of perseverance connotes steadfastness under pressure and endurance in the face of trials. And what Paul does is Paul goes back to this region where he was ridiculed, rejected, and stoned for the purpose of building up the believers so that they would not lose heart and that they would continue in their faith and faithfulness to the Lord. Now, when I examine this passage in Acts chapter 14, we're coming to the end of the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul, and there are two things that I really find in this text that I think are important for you and for me. Because every single one of us are going to go through difficulties in life. It may be difficulties in our marriage, it may be difficulties with our children. You know, it's amazing to me how many people will come to me, and I'm so glad that they do, and they'll come up next to me and they'll say, "Pastor, would you pray for my son? He's far from God, and it breaks my heart." Or they'll say, "Hey, would you pray for my daughter? We just found out that she's been diagnosed with..." Life isn't always easy, but yet you and I have the opportunity to declare the excellencies and the mercies and the grace of God even when life gets hard. There are two things that I find in Acts chapter 14 that all of us need if we are going to remain faithful. First of all, I believe we need spiritual grit. Now you say, what is spiritual grit? Well, grit is defined as a demonstration of courage and resolve and strength of character. Now, where do you get this in this passage? Well, if you remember, the Apostle Paul had been stoned in verse 19. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. His friends gathered around him. Paul got up. He walked 18 to 20 miles to Derbe after being stoned. And then, because he was so concerned with the spiritual health and well-being of those infant Christians in Lystra and Iconium and these other places that he had been, the Bible says in verse 21 that he returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. In other words, he went right back to the very place where he had been rejected and ridiculed and stoned because Paul had a greater purpose in his life. Whenever we think of spiritual grit, we have to understand that in the New Testament, we see grit called out when we hear the word like trials, contentment, perseverance, and steadfastness. Ultimately, spiritual grit is joyful every single day, dependence on Christ, no matter what, even when life hurts. So when we think about spiritual grit and doing the hard things, even when life is difficult, we're reminded of what the Hebrews writer said to us, that we are to run with endurance the race that God has set before us. The word for endurance here is a word that comes from the word which means patient persistence. In James chapter 1, the Bible says in verses 2 and 3, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Paul knew the propensity of people to drift. He knew that whenever facing challenges, that people either rise to the occasion or they wither in the moment. And what you need in your spiritual life is what I would call some spiritual grit that was exemplified by Barnabas and by Paul and the early Christians, that even though when they preached the gospel, even when they stood for biblical truth, even when they tried out to live the convictions of their faith, they may have had people reject them, they may have had people ridicule them, but I am saying to you that the grit that they lived with is the kind of grit that you and I need to be living with. We should have a resolve that no matter what, come flood, blood, crud, or mud, I am going to live for Jesus Christ. That's what God wants you to do. I think that in this culture that we live in, we have become very accustomed to Christianity being seen as acceptable. Especially those of us that are over the age of 50, we remember what it was like to grow up in a Judeo-Christian culture where many people, although they may not have been Christian, they valued and appreciated the Christian community. But today, that's not so. And I'm not saying that I don't wish it was so, but the reality is you may understand that where you work and where you live and the neighborhood that you live in and the school that you go to, you may be the only one standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I'm saying to you is you cannot cower and you cannot become a coward. You must be willing to go back in and be there and be a witness for the glory of God. And it takes spiritual grit in life. Now, where does that grit come from? It has to come from the Lord. But spiritual disciplines are the preparation for growing spiritual grit. You know, I spoke about a month ago to our church on spiritual disciplines, and when we talk about reading our Bibles and praying and fasting and memorizing scripture, all of these things are important ingredients to helping prepare us for when we're going to face the greatest challenges and difficulties of our lives. Spiritual disciplines. Life experience is the playing field for growing spiritual grit. You know, the older you get, the more you've experienced in life, the more you learn everything is not a tragedy and everything doesn't destroy you. In the book of Colossians, Paul writes in chapter 1, verse 11, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyfully. I really believe that you and I need to develop through the practice of spiritual disciplines and the perseverance through the trials and tribulations of life, we need to grow in our spiritual grit, which is a deeper level of commitment to obedience and following the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what. I tell my sons all the time, I speak to them. One works in an environment where there are not any believers around him, and I say to him, so why does God have you there? It's not just to make money. Why does God have you there? To my other son that is facing a lot of challenges in his life right now, and right now he's moving around a good bit with what he's doing, and it's not always exactly what he wants to do. I texted him this morning. I said, son, how is God using this to shape you more into the image of his son, Jesus Christ? we need spiritual grit. Amen? But we don't even just need spiritual grit, we also need spiritual support. It's interesting because when you read verse 22, there are three words that are used in this passage. In verse 22, there are two, and then in verse 23, there's one. Look in verse 22. He goes back to Lystra, he goes back to Iconium, and he goes back to Antioch. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, underline the word strengthening, and then encouraging them to continue, underline the words encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And then in verse 23, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, underline the word appointed. Now, we all need spiritual support. We need spiritual grit in our individual lives, but we also need spiritual support. Your translation in Acts 14, 22 may not use the word strengthening. It may use the word confirming. But that Greek word that's used there is a word that indicates that Paul went back to these cities for the distinct purpose of strengthening the faith of those believers who had recently come to faith in Jesus Christ. I want to tell you what kind of support you and I need. We need the support of others in our life that help us grow up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord by strengthening us in our understanding of who Christ is and how to live the Christian life. We need to be strengthened. You know, whenever I used to exercise, and I remember, Norm, when you and I were wrestling together, they used to make us do dips, right? And they wanted us to get up to doing like 150 dips. We were real dipsticks, but we did dips. But when we started, we couldn't do all of them at once. We had to build up our what? Strength. The book of Jeremiah, the prophet says, if you can't run with the footmen, what are you going to do when the horses come? In other words, the Bible is saying, if you can't cross a creek today, how are you going to ford a river tomorrow? If you can't climb a hill this morning, if God asks you to climb a mountain, how are you going to do it if along the journey of life, your faith is not being strengthened through the trials and tribulations that you experience? Every single one of us may be going through some hardship in life. Maybe it's the transition into retirement, or maybe it's the transition in a job, or the challenge of a health issue, whatever it is. But God is using all of those things in your life to strengthen you to walk by faith in a manner so that whatever it is that comes against you in the future, you are walking in a greater strength of faith than you have ever had before. And what we want to get out of difficulty, and what God wants is to see us through the difficulty. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't ever give escape and God doesn't bring healing and all of those things. What I am saying, though, is this. Just like the Apostle Paul went back to strengthen the Christians in these cities, every single one of us need to be strengthened in our faith. Now, sometimes that comes through trials and tribulations. Other times that comes through a greater knowledge of the Word of God and an intimacy with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Are you walking with him? We all need to be strengthened, but we also need to be encouraged. Now, in verse 22, when the Bible says he strengthened the souls of the disciples, then it says, encouraging them to continue. Now, we all believe in the perseverance of the saints. We believe that when a person is born again by the power of the Spirit of God and they become a new creature in Christ, one of the evidences that they are his is that they will persevere to the end. Do you believe that? Listen to what the scripture says. John 8:31. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And in Colossians 1, he says, although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. Now, we believe that a born-again believer is going to persevere until the end. But that's not the only kind of perseverance that the Bible speaks about. The Bible speaks about not only the perseverance of salvation, but the Bible also speaks to us that beyond the concept of perseverance in regard to salvation, there are constant biblical exhortations to persevere in the Christian life. In his pastoral epistles to Timothy, the Apostle Paul reminds him to watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. What was Paul saying? When Paul went back to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch to encourage them to continue in the faith, Paul was not only strengthening them with the ability to stand firm, but he was also lifting them up and coming alongside them. The word here for encourage is the word from which we get our word for paraclete or the Holy Spirit, parakaleo, and it means to come alongside. We all need people to come alongside us. Why do we talk all the time about you need to be in a life group? Why do we talk all the time about you need to be in a D group, or you need to be with a group of believers that know what's going on in your life, that are aware of how you're doing spiritually and can encourage you? Why do we place such an emphasis and a priority on that? Because God never called you to live the Christian life by yourself. He saved you personally, that you may be a part of his body, familial and corporately, and we need one another. Amen? Who are you coming alongside? Hey, if you miss for a few weeks and somebody calls you and says, hey, I missed you, don't get offended by it. Be glad somebody cares about you. And as a matter of fact, why don't you pay a little bit of attention to those that are around you? And if somebody's been missing, why don't you pick up the phone and just say, hey, been thinking about you. We need not only to strengthen one another, but we need to encourage. We need to come alongside one another and help one another run the race of the Christian life. The Bible tells us over and over again about the importance of one another. Paul says we need spiritual grit. He modeled it. And Paul modeled the importance of spiritual support for other believers, strengthening them, encouraging them. And then third, look in verse 23 at what it says. They appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Now, you may not think so, and we're not like those that believe in the priesthood. You don't need Daryl to get to Jesus. You can go to Jesus all on your own, amen? However, the Bible makes it abundantly clear that if we're going to be faithful until the end, and persevere in the Christian life. We need to be strengthened, we need to be encouraged, but we also need appointed spiritual leaders in our lives. Listen to what Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus in chapter 4. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastor and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. People say, why is it important that I be involved in a local church? Why is it important that I belong to a local congregation? Because God has given gifted leaders and teachers and others to help provide spiritual oversight and guidance and leadership to your life. Not that we may lord over you, but that we may serve you and love you and help you to live for the glory of God in faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not think you need it, but every single one of us needs the appointed leaders in the local church that God has given to us. It's a powerful word. He goes back to Lystra, he goes back to Iconium, and he goes back to Antioch, and he models spiritual grit. But then while he is there, he models spiritual support. He doesn't want to leave the church orphaned. You know, Jesus said that he was not going to leave us as orphans. He sent who? The Holy Spirit who lives within us. And not only did he send his Spirit who lives within us, but he gives us the local gathering of the church to help us to be all that God wants us to be. As I was praying about this message and thinking about it while I was gone, I got to thinking about when people give up. You know, some people give up because they're going through marital difficulty and they think, I just can't take it anymore. Some people want to give up because they're trying to live out the Christian life and they feel like they can't do it. And Bill preached a powerful message last week on depending on Christ and prayer and desperately seeking the Lord. But it may be there's a teenager or a young person that maybe you're having problems respecting your parents. Maybe you're struggling with a hidden sin of pornography and living morally pure has just been such a challenge for you. And you just think, you know what? I just might as well give up. Why even try? One of the guides that we had was a lady by the name of Anna. And Anna had grown up Catholic, of course, in Italy. And as we were heading back after our tour, I decided I was going to talk with Anna about Christ, and I was trying to share the gospel with her. And I said to her, are you a Catholic? And she said, well, I am, but I don't go anymore. And I said, well, tell me a little bit about that. Why don't you attend the Catholic Church anymore? And at first, she seemed very hesitant to even talk with me about it. But then as she began to talk, tears began to well up in her eyes. And she began to tell me the tragic story of the death of her brother. And how she would go to the cemetery after he had died and how it just absolutely crushed her. And I shared the gospel. I talked about Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. And she told me she had never heard that before. And we stopped in this public square, and there's literally just people everywhere. And I said, Anna, can I pray for you? Tears were in her eyes, and she looked at me and she said, "Would you pray for my son Stephanos as well?" And she didn't tell me what was going on with her son, but we stopped and we prayed. And when I walked away, she looked at me with this look of thank you. And I don't know what God's going to do in our heart. I want you to pray that Anna comes to faith in Christ. But here's the thought that hit me. How many people are going through a hardship and they just want to give up? And who one day they went to church, but because of the tribulation and trials of life, they didn't have any spiritual strength, they didn't have any spiritual encouragement, and they didn't have anybody coming alongside to just say to them, don't give up. Is that you this morning? Would you stand with me in a spirit of prayer this morning? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. And I want to ask you this morning where you are spiritually in your own personal journey. Are you going through the motions? Are you tired? Have you considered just throwing in the towel and saying, I've done all I can. I just can't do anymore. I just want to give up. And I'm coming here this morning saying to you, don't give up. Let God use this moment in your life to grow you in his grace and strengthen your resolve to walk by faith and to trust him. In a moment, we're going to sing what we call an invitation song. And I want to say to you that if you're here this morning and you say, Daryl, I don't know Christ. I've wanted to know him, but I don't understand how to know him. Could you explain to me how Jesus can forgive me for my sin and give me the gift of eternal life? While we're singing this song, if you'll just come in the balcony, we'll have a pastor. Rain is there. Here on the floor, we'll have pastors that if you'll come to us and just say, I'd like to talk with someone, we'll just share with you and let you share with us. You come. But maybe you're here this morning and you just need to be encouraged. You want to pray with a pastor. Maybe you want to pray here at the altar and just be encouraged in your faith. Would you come? Some of you have been coming to our church for a long time and you've never officially, technically committed yourself to this body of believers and membership. And you say, you know, I understand. I need this body of believers in my life. Would you come? Lord God, we come this morning. We need you. Sometimes life is hard and sometimes we face difficulties. And we just need you. So speak to us, Lord. Minister your grace to us. And Lord, help us to have spiritual grit and spiritual support. In Jesus' name, amen.